Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Dan Roth.
Amen. Well, today, as you're having a seat, get your Bible out and go with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm number 63. And you can just hang there for a second. It's Vision Weekend 2018. I believe that everything that we have done in this church for the past 29 years has led us to this point. This is a pivotal year, that this is a year that God is going to do a new thing. I believe that there are new dreams and new visions that are going to come here in the church. I believe that this is going to be a year that new ministries spring up. Maybe it's an old ministry done in a new way. I believe that this is a year of new beginnings for some of you in this place. Some of you guys have been believing God for a long time, and this is the year that that breakthrough is going to happen. This is going to be the year that those prayers that you have prayed for decades are going to be answered. I believe that this is the year you've been believing God. Some of you guys in this place, that relationship you've been believing God for is going to happen. You're going to get married this year. I believe this is your year. Some of you guys have been believing God to have a baby. This is that year. I believe that this is the year some of you guys have a business on the inside of you and you've been holding back. But this is the year God has sent. I want you to launch out into the deep for a catch. This is that year. I believe that this year God wants to do a new thing, that there are great things in store for each and every one of us if we will believe God and press ourselves into the vision that God is going to give to us today. 4 years ago, we started a process, and every year we bring out the vision, because the Bible says without a vision, the people perish. So we need to get a vision of what it is that God wants to do in each and every one of our lives. And a couple years ago, you remember this, that God had spoken to our hearts, so we need to love people more and do church better. Loving people more and doing church better. That we were just going to work on our love walk and work on doing church better. And so we're getting ourselves organized and getting things working here at the church and giving attention to the building, that sort of thing. And so we just kept going on that. And then the following year, maybe you remember this, building a passionate house. That we wanted to just light a spark that would start a fire of passion and of excitement in this house, to where we didn't have lethargic, apathetic Christians that are just kind of bloated on the word and just doing their thing on Sunday and then living like the rest of the world the rest of the week. No, that they would be so passionate that it would just catch fire to the Inland Empire and around the world. Then last year, you remember, we had the year to grow in our giving, grow in our relationships, grow in our outreach, and grow in our worship. Now, let me say this before we move on. None of those things go away. In other words, it's not like, hey, you didn't grow last year. You should have grown last year because now the year's over and now we're going to move on to something else. You can't grow anymore. That was it. You know, that was the time and you missed it. No, that's not what this is. We're going to continue to grow in 2018. We're going to continue to be a passionate house and build that passion on the inside of you. We're going to continue to love people more and do church better as we grow, because this is not something that we stop just because the year is up. That was where our focus was, but we're building on those things. And I believe that all of those things built us to the point that we're at today. You know, this year marks the 30th birthday of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. It was on Father's Day in June of 1988 that 12 people and one box of Kleenex were all gathered together in one room, and somebody brought the box. The box didn't get there on its own. But they gathered together in a room, and they had the box of Kleenex, not because it was allergy season or they had runny noses. They had that box of Kleenex because they had broken hearts. If you look under your chairs today, you will find inevitably under one of the chairs around you a box of Kleenex. And the reason why is because we have a real heart in this place, a real passion for the things of God. And oftentimes our eyes leak what our heart is saying. Many times we find ourselves in the presence of God just crying out before Him, and the tears start to flow. This year, with the 30th birthday, and I believe as God is bringing us into new things, that all of that, everything that we've talked about, can be summed up in one word. And that word is the vision for 2018. That word is reach. God wants us to reach this year. Oftentimes, reach involves what? It involves stretch. It involves in getting outside of your specific area and moving into something else that's outside of the zone that you're in. God wants to stretch you this coming year. Now listen, I didn't say it was going to be easy. I didn't say even though 2018 is going to be the best year of your life, that it's going to be the easiest year of your life. You know, oftentimes the hardest thing and the right thing are the same thing. God, when He wants you to reach, when He wants you to stretch, when He says, put forth your hand, when He says, I want you to start to move, I want you to start to do something, God is pushing you into an area that can be uncomfortable and oftentimes even painful as you stretch out and as you reach. And so we're going to be a people who don't shrink back from those things. Listen, no one ever said it was going to be easy to be a Christian, but that didn't stop us. We counted up the cost and we said, you know what? Doesn't matter what comes here on the earth. What matters is what happens in eternity. And I'm going on to glory. And therefore, I can endure these things while I'm here on the earth. I can make it. You know, I love after the terror attack down the street, they started saying, S, be strong. Listen, the people of the IE are a tough people. And it's going to take a tough people to get the job done here on the earth, because the devil is a tough devil. And he's not letting up. He would love to ruin your year. He would love to quench your dream. He would love to stop the vision of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center having a reach. He would love to cut that off. And yet it's going to take a breakthrough people who won't put up with the devil's junk, but that are going to stretch out, who are going to reach out, and on the way punch the devil in the face and keep going. Takes a tough person. We got to be tougher than our toughest day. God is saying, I want you to stretch out. I want you to reach. And I believe that there are three directions that God is speaking to us, three directions that we need to reach this year, not just as a church. See, this, if this was just for the church, if this was just for the staff, just for the Rock Church and World Outreach Center, the building, that'd be one thing. This is for each and every one of us individually. I believe that today, as we talk about the vision, you're going to get a vision of, yes, what's going to happen here at the church, here in the house, but also I believe that God's going to show you a picture of your life this coming year. He's going to put people on your heart. He's going to put names in your head that you need to reach this year. He's going to put goals in front of you, and you're going to get a vision of yourself achieving those goals and attaining those things. Why? Because God says this is the year that you're going to reach. Our first reach, the first direction that we ought to reach, each and every person, every Christian, is up. Up. God wants us to reach up. What does that mean? Reach up and touch God. God doesn't want us to stay in the lowlands. God doesn't want us staying in the muck and the mire. When you got saved, the Bible says that God reached down and that he got a hold of you and he pulled you up out of the muck and the mire. And he set your feet upon the rock. See, the Christian walk is always an uphill climb. We are going onward and we are going upward with God. And this year, if we're going to reach anything, the first reach that we have to have is a reach up. Now, I don't care if you've been a Christian all your life. If you were raised in church and when you came out of the womb, they put a Bible in your hands. Listen, we're all growing. No one has attained. No one is perfected. We all can grow and we can all reach up in some area of our lives. There's always more to God. Have you noticed that? Why? Because the Bible says his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. God expects us to come up to where he's at. He's, you know, he's already condescended. He's already sent Jesus and come down to our level. Now he's saying, because you have Jesus, you can come up to my level. In fact, even John in the book of Revelation, you remember when he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, what did Jesus say? He said, come up here and I'll show you things. See, our reach has to be a reach that goes up. You got your Bibles? Go with me to Psalm chapter number 63. I would encourage you, if you have the time, read through the entire Psalm. And it'll just bless you when you see King David's heart and the passion that he has for God. How he was continually reaching up. I want to just read the first verse. Take a look at what it says in Psalm 63, verse number 1. Look at what it says. It says, oh God, you are my God. Look at that ownership. Look at that possession. God, you're my God. Look at what he says. Early I will seek you. Can I use a word? Just switch out a word for early. Can I use another word? First. See, our first reach is up. Early I will seek you. First things first. Not going to the coffee pot. I'm not going to the news feed. I'm not going to the social media. God, early, first, I will seek you. You know, we've called a fast for these next 21 days here at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. I would encourage you to join us and find something that your appetite is drawing you to in front of God and put that thing as a fast. Whether it be fasting a meal, whether it be fasting coffee like I'm doing. Also, me and my wife are doing sweets and meats. Yeah, how many of you know my house is going to be an angry house? No, I'm just kidding. But whatever it is that you're drawn to before God, whatever it is that's coming, fast that thing. Take 21 days and put it on the altar and say, Lord, I'm going to seek you first. I'm going to put this thing, I'm going to quiet that appetite, because fasting quiets what's loudest in our life so that we can hear the voice of God. He says, early I will seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Next verse, he says, I went to church and I found you. You can read that on your own. In the sanctuary, that's what he's talking about. I went to the house of God. This is the house of God. See, God wants to give you a picture. God wants to give you a vision, but our priority has to be God. God has to be number one. This cannot be a half-hearted expression. You know, in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse number 11, there's a great promise that we love to quote, that I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, plans to give you a future and a hope, plans to do you good and not to harm you. That's a wonderful promise from the Word of God. But oftentimes we forget to read the verses around it. Did you know that the next two verses talk about praying and talk about us seeking the Lord and reaching God? If you want to turn there with me, Jeremiah chapter number 29, if you keep going towards the back of your Bible, pass up Isaiah, and you'll find, pass up the Proverbs, and you'll find Jeremiah chapter 29, and find verse number 11, and then go to verse number 12. Look at what verse number 12 says. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Isn't that a wonderful promise from God? See, when we reach up, we need to reach up and get a hold of the promises of God. Because God has promises for our life. You can have a great year. There's a promise in the Word that says, I will crown your year with my goodness. Your paths will drip with abundance. We can reach up and get a hold of that promise from God. He says, then you will call upon me and pray to me, and I will listen to you. If you've ever felt like your prayers are hitting the ceiling and bouncing off and coming back down, it's time to get a hold of the promise of God. You will pray to me, and I will listen to you. You know, there's a wonderful promise in 1 John chapter 5 that if we pray according to his will, that he hears us. And if he hears us, whatever we ask, that we have those things that we ask of him. You can know that your prayers are being answered as you reach up and you reach up to promise. Look at the next verse, verse number 13. And you will seek me and you will find me. That's a great promise, isn't it? But notice God puts a condition with the next word, when. In other words, it is conditional of how much of God we get based on how much of us we put in. Look at what he says. When you search for me with all your heart. See, God is not into a half-hearted expression with his children. God doesn't want token prayers, just repetitive words. Jesus said, I don't like the people that make those long prayers, the Pharisees that are standing up and want to be seen by everybody. And so they make these long prayers. Don't do that. Your words, you're coming near to me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. No, God says, I want you to put yourself in there. I want you to get your heart in there. Listen, guys, half-hearted Christianity doesn't make it. You can't get what you're going with half a tank, guys. You got to fill up. This has to be a wholehearted expression and experience. And if you're going to reach, it's time to reach up with all that you got. It's time to stretch yourself. It's time to come up to a new level this year. Maybe you've been in church for a long time. Maybe you feel like you know all there is to know. You could quote every scripture there is to quote. And yet God is saying, there's more to me. Guys, I've been doing this for 20 plus years now. I've been reading the Bible, just going through the Bible all those years. I don't even know how many times I've read through the Bible, because in the morning I go through Old Testament, New Testament at night before I go to bed, and just going through it, and I haven't been counting. I've been going through the Bible for 20 years. Do you know that I still read stuff that I'm like, God, when did you put that in there? Because I don't remember that verse. And all of a sudden it's jumping off the page of me, telling me something about God or telling me something about me. And I'm like, whoa, look at this. You know, I'm all excited. I'm telling somebody, they're like, yeah, I knew that was there. But guys, there's always something that we can be growing in, always something we can be learning. We can always be reaching up farther. I had a great experience in my Bible college class. I teach the Blood Covenant here at the Rock Church Bible College. And in the Bible college, we had a beautiful young woman. She came in. She's got a beautiful heart. She's been saved for a couple years now and just wanted to grow in her relationship with God. So she decided to get in the Bible college. She's there, and the first semester, you get me. You get Blood Covenant first semester in the fall. And so here we are. We're having Blood Covenant. Week number 5 is always the week that I just drop the truth on everybody, right? It's that week that, like, everybody, they don't know it, but I'm so anticipating it because I know they're going to get just an encounter with God at that session. And so here we are, and we're talking about the tabernacle. We're talking about the types and shadows, how all of it speaks of Jesus. Talking about the sacrificial system and the atonement. Talking about the mercy seat there and propitiation. You're saying, Pastor, you are using words that I don't think are in the English language. What, do you start talking in tongues or something? What's going on here? But really, it's speaking of Jesus and what he did to redeem us and how he bought us out of our sin and how he gave us an exchange of his life for our life. And now we have the life of God. We have covenant with God. And by the time we get these truths dropped into our spirit, oh my goodness, this class by the end is spitting and shouting and hollering and praising. Why? Because they got a revelation of Jesus Christ and they found him in the Old Testament in the tabernacle and their eyes were open and they're like, oh my gosh, wow. And so here, this young lady on the front row, she was just kind of right up here on the front, just to my left. And every time we would open up a new truth, every time there'd be a new revelation, her face just kept like she had surprise, like, whoa, wow. Oh my goodness. Oh my. You know, she just kept going and going and going. All through the class, she just had this surprised look on her face. And at the end of the class, there was a bunch of students kind of gathered around. They were all jabbering. You know, it's a good class when everybody's talking afterwards. Okay. And they're like, hey, did you hear that? Oh my goodness. I never saw that before. Did you realize that's what that was? I mean, I read that 50 times. I never knew that. You know, one of them saying, well, look at this scripture. And they're all just kind of talking and everything. And all of a sudden, this young lady, she says, I feel like I felt Jesus for the first time. I wonder if in 2018, as we reach up, that God doesn't want to introduce himself to us in a brand new way. I wonder if somebody this year is going to get a revelation of God that changes their life eternally. I wonder if this year is the year that you can reach up and touch God. And even though you feel like you've made it to a great plane, that there's a height that God says, I want you to come up and I want you to reach up and I want you to touch heaven and your life will never be the same. This is that year. And as we reach up, the second reach starts to happen is the reach in. As we reach up and touch the heart of God, God reaches inside of us and touches our heart. This is a very important reach for all of us because that introspection, you know, the Bible tells us that we're to take a look inside every now and then, that we're to check the oil, you know, make sure the timing's going right, make sure everything's going on the way that it needs to be, you know, pop the hood and see what's up. See what's going on in there. Make sure everything's functioning properly. God says, test yourselves to see whether you're in the faith or not. Check yourself out. Examine yourselves, right? Bible tells us to take a look inside. And there's a very important reach of reaching in. The Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians, turn there with me, Philippians chapter number 3 now in the New Testament, past the Gospels and Acts, you'll find the letters to the churches. You find the book of Philippians chapter number 3, the Apostle Paul. In fact, we went to these scriptures last week, and we're going to go to the scriptures just previous. The Apostle Paul is talking about how he's forsaken everything that he had in the world, and now he's going on to new levels with God. And he says, I'm trying to lay hold of that for which God has laid hold of me. Look at what it says in Philippians, the 3rd chapter. We're going to take a look at two verses, verse number 13 and verse number 14. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 starts out, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Notice he's reaching up, right? He knows that heaven is his home. He knows that he's headed for heaven. Guys, he's writing this from a Roman jail cell. And yet he says, I have joy. Why? Because the purpose of God is being accomplished in me. And if my struggle and my story is going to bring God some glory, then I don't care what I'm going through. I don't care the place that I'm at here in the natural. I'm reaching up and I'm reaching on ahead. Now look at the next verse. It says, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, when we reach into purpose. There is a purpose that God has for each and every one of us in this room. God knows the purpose that he's placed in your life. God knows the reason why he called you for such a time as this. God knows what's ahead of you in 2018. And as you reach up, God's going to reach in. We reach up to promise, but God reaches in for purpose. There's something that God wants to do. God wants to build your life. God wants to develop you in the things of God this year. We need to reach in and touch what God is touching us. Produce his desire and his passion, his purposes on the inside of us. How do we do that? Well, take a look. Here's some areas. I would encourage you, if you're fasting with us this month and you're taking those times to pray, develop these things. Where do you want to be spiritually and emotionally this year? Maybe your thought life is a mess and you need to start thinking about what you're thinking about. Maybe you need to start watching what you're watching and listening to what you're listening to and adjust. Maybe there's some things that you need to get out of your life. It's time to get rid of that explicit music, or maybe it's time to stop watching that show that's demonically inspired. Maybe it's time to get rid of the pornography that's been dragging you into that tar pit that you're ashamed of. This is the year to break free of those things. This is the year to develop yourself spiritually. Where are you at and where do you want to be? Well, what are some goals spiritually that you want to do? Some of you guys last year said, I'm going to read the Bible, and you didn't read the Bible. Hey, this is that year. This is the year to reach up and touch the heart of God and get into your Bible and let the Bible get into you. Maybe last year you said, I'm going to pray every day, and you missed it, and you just kind of gave up and you quit on it, but you kept coming to church. Praise God, you kept coming to church. Guys, but listen, this is a wholehearted expression. This is something where you write it down, where you make the vision plain, where you remind yourself, where you're accountable to somebody. Maybe it's your husband or your wife or your best friend, and you say, will you hold me accountable and ask me if I prayed today? And they'll say, did you pray today? No, I did not. Go pray right now. But I have to. No, right now. But no. Right? Get somebody that can get in your face and tell you no, because it will help you and it will encourage you. And afterwards, you'll come back after you prayed and you'll say, thank you. I needed that. Right? That's what this is about, guys. That reach. What does God want to do on the inside of you, spiritually, emotionally? How about this? Well, what are the goals that God has for your life in the area of your relationships? Who do you want around you? You know, some of you single people need to realize that the Bible says that bad company corrupts good morals. And there are people that don't need to be around you. People you need to delete out of your contacts. Come on. You need to unfollow some people on social media because what you're seeing in their lives is producing the wrong thing on the inside of you. But then who do you want in your life? You know, you need faith-filled friends, people who will build you, people who will encourage you, people who will not put up with your junk. You know what I'm saying? People who will get in your face and say, hey, you're better than that. People who can hold you accountable. What faith-filled friends? You're going to find those people in church. That's why we do all the events. That's why we have Sunday Night Connects and things like that in the summer. That's why we have small groups and all these relational things. We're always constantly telling you to hug somebody, high-five somebody. Listen, if all you're doing is, hey, good to see you, good to see you, look good, you look good, you good, and you never get to know somebody, never get to know their name, shame on you. Come on. Start to reach out beyond yourself and start to get involved in someone else's life around you. You all know you sit in the same spot every week. So get to know your neighbor, because they all sit in the same spot every week. They're going to be sitting there. They're going to be camped out there. And if you sat in their seat, they're going to be eyeing you like, you're in my seat. You better just move over to your seat. Your seat's over there. I know where your seat is. That's my seat. But get to know them. Get to know the people around you. What faithful friends does God want to bring in your life? How about in your family, if you're a parent in this place? What do you want your children to look like? Listen, guys, you cannot let television teach your kids how to live life. That's your job.
But pastor, I bring them to church.
Yes, that's good. We will supplement and help encourage what's going on in your home, but we're not with your kids as much as you're with your kids. And by the way, God give those kids to you, not to us. We're going to teach them the word of God. We're going to build and encourage their faith, but it should be out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. Every matter should be established. So what they learn at home, they should be seeing in the word that's preached here in church. So what are your goals? Some of you guys need to start Bible studies with your kids. Some of you guys need to pray with your kids. Some of you guys need to have a little talk with your kids about life. Listen, don't be lazy. Don't put your responsibility off on someone else. If someone tells you no and they're an authority, listen to them. You wonder why the world's acting crazy. Everybody's mad at the millennials. Can I say something to you? Maybe if parents did their job, we wouldn't be so mad at all the cultures. They were mad at Gen X. They were mad at the baby boomers. The sexual revolution and all that kind of stuff. You know why? Because they didn't have a parent telling them, this is not how we act in this house. This is how Christians act and raise a standard for the family. Because if fathers would do their job as the head of the house and moms would come in and support that, this world would be less of a mess. It's our job. 2018, let's get our house in order. Don't be a deadbeat dad or a mom that's just blanked out and you're always on your phone and kids, just go play, just go play. Listen, get involved in their lives. They need a hug. They need a kiss. They need love. They need to be told it's hard right now, but you're going to make it. I made it and you can too. What are your goals with your family? What are your goals in your marriage? Some of you guys, your marriage is a mess. It's time to get your marriage in order. Time to start loving your wife as Christ loved the church and laying down your life sacrificially. Don't be so bullheaded, men. I can say that because I'm a bullheaded man. And oftentimes I don't want to lay down my life. I want someone else to lay down their life for me. I deserve it. And yet God called me to be like Jesus, who went to the cross for a people who were rebellious. I have to lay down my life for my wife and for my children. Ladies, will you love your husbands and lay down your lives as the church is subject to Christ in all things? Will you serve your husband and will you encourage him? Will you live a pure and a chaste, holy life before him so that without a word, he may see your good conduct and obey the word, 1 Peter chapter 3 says. I know that's tough. I know that's hard. I can't imagine doing that. That's got to tear down a whole lot of pride. And listen, I'm not talking male chauvinist, male domination, that sort of thing. No, we are heirs together in the kingdom of God. We have equal inheritance in the kingdom. We are shoulder to shoulder, side by side in the kingdom. But when it comes to the home, God's set up an order in the home. And ladies, if you're browbeating your husband, if you're the dominant one, it's time to start to come under the mission that God has given that man and to encourage him to be the man of God. It's time to love them, to pray for your families, to keep your homes. What are your relationship goals? How about being a mentor? How about being an SPT? How about being somebody in Breaking Free, helping somebody? How about being in the children's ministry or in the youth ministry, helping troubled kids? You know, we have some crazy stories that come to this church. There's some messed up things that people do to their kids. And a lot of times I see parents dropping their kids off at children's ministry and then they're driving out while I'm driving in. And I'm waving, saying, hi, hey, and they don't know who I am. They're not in church. They're just dropping their kids off because the kids need church, but we're okay. It's good babysitting for us while we go out and do our shopping on the weekend. And I will love those kids. I will take every single one of them that they drop off, but my goodness, guys, some of those kids get beat up before they come here. Some of those kids don't sleep at night and wet their beds because they don't know who's coming in the door. Some of our teenagers have gone through horrific things. They're wondering if they're a boy, if they're a girl, if they're homosexual, if they're heterosexual. They don't know what to think. They've been fed so many lies. They've been spoon-fed so many lies. And I don't care if that offends you. The truth of God's word says that God made them male and female, that God set up a man and a woman, okay? And listen, if you're dealing with those things in this church, we don't hate you. We love you, and we will work with you and just love you while God works on your heart, okay? This is a welcoming, loving place. You can come here, okay? You can come here with your partner, all right? And we will love you, but just get ready because the Holy Spirit's going to start reaching in and get ready to change, okay? But our job in the meantime is not to hate on you or judge you or criticize you. Our job is to love you while the work of the Holy Spirit goes on the inside of you. We know everybody's on a journey. We're all a bunch of ex-everythings. We are all messed up, tore up from the floor up, okay? So there's no shame, no condemnation in Christ now. All right, keep coming to church, but get ready because God's going to reach inside. How about your financial goals? What do you want to do financially this year? Some of you guys said, I'm going to tithe this year, and then you never did. Hey, come on, jump on. It's time to jump in with both feet. Remember, wholehearted. Some of you guys, your finances are a mess, and you need to get your financial life in order. It's time to start being a good steward. You know, not wasting money on things that don't matter. It's time to start pouring your efforts into eternal things. It's time to start bringing your tithes. It's time to start bringing your offering and take care of those things which God says that he wants to take care of in your life. You got to do your part. How about this? 30th birthday is coming up. Don't you know Pastor Dan's going to be talking to you about bringing a birthday offering on our 30th birthday? What are you going to bring? Sometimes people say, well, Pastor, whenever the minister starts talking about money, it just bugs me. It just bugs me. You want to know why that bugs you? Start to reach inside. Ask yourself this question. Am I really generous? Because if I was really generous, would it bug me if a pastor was talking about money to build the kingdom of God and reach people for Jesus? If I'm generous, I will have no problem with that. But if I'm not generous, something's going on the inside of here. And why do I have a problem with that? And bring that before the Lord. Repent of those things and say, God, I'm going to start bringing my tithe. God, this year, I'm going to build on what I've already done. I already tithed, but I'm going to bring my offering. This year, I'm going to plan. And last time we had a birthday offering, I brought $100. I got, 6 months to the birthday. I'm going to bring $600, right? $100 a month. Maybe some of you guys have a property you can sell or something that you can bring, a gift in kind that you're saying, that's a valuable thing that I can bring to the Lord at the birthday, for the 30th birthday. Some of you guys can do tens of thousands. Some of you guys can do hundreds of thousands. What if 2018 was the year that we believed God, jumped in wholehearted, and $6.1 million of this mortgage on this building was paid off in full? What if? But that can only happen if we get in there with God and we do what we need to do. What are your physical goals? What are your goals physically? You know, the Bible says that exercise profits a little. Whatever profit we can get, we should, shouldn't we? We should have a healthy body. This is the temple of the Lord. We shouldn't be filling it with smoke and alcohol and drugs. And can I just jump on a little soapbox for a second? Prescription drugs. I can't tell you how many people, because they're prescription and they're legal, and California just legalized something else. Y'all know what I'm saying, right? You don't have to go to the street pharmacist anymore. Now they've got retail stores and all kinds of other stuff popping up. You can go get a massage in it. You can go get a culinary experience with it. Listen, just because it's legal, does it make it beneficial to your life? You know, the Bible says you should never be out of your right mind, that you are to be sober-minded. So if you're just like laughing and you got the munchies. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. It may be permissible, but is it profitable? If it's not, this is the year to get rid of it. Some of you smokers, come on. My dad quit smoking cold turkey in the year 2000, and he started showing me some things about smoking. He did some research. He said in just 1 year, that 3/4 of the lungs that was destroyed with that tar of that nicotine would already be repaired and healed. My dad is still alive to this day. Listen, you guys, it's time to take care of your bodies. You don't want lung cancer. You don't want throat cancer. You don't want emphysema, any of those things. It's time to get your life in order. Overeating. Can we talk about it, guys? Come on. It's time to say no to the appetites of the flesh. And maybe your fast is not fasting food completely, but maybe your fast is a certain number of calories, and you're going to start working on that diet plan. And then it's not just going to be a diet for a period of time. This is a new lifestyle for you, because the Lord is dealing with you about getting healthy. Maybe it's about exercise. Maybe it's about organization in your life. Some of you guys need to clean your house. Can I say this? Is this okay? Can I just be like your big brother here and love on you and tell you the truth? If you got too much junk in your closet, throw some stuff out. You don't need it all. Be generous and donate it. If you got too many clothes, bring them to the resource center. We will clothe people in the Inland Empire with your clothes. Come on, guys, this is real talk. Because a Christian's life should be a picture of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is not a mess. Jesus is not sloppy. He is excellent. He is beautiful. He is wonderful. And I understand that not everybody can live in the house on the hill with the golden gates and the doors and all that kind of stuff. But even if you live in a shack, it should be the most beautiful shack on the block. It's time to get our lives in order. Job, what is your goals for your job? As you're reaching in, what do I want to do on the job? What about that promotion? What about that just doing excellent? What about an award? Maybe you want to be the employee of the month. What's it going to take to do that? Come on, guys, these are things. Maybe you don't have a job and you've just been skating by, letting other people pick up the tab. It's time to take responsibility. Time to put your hand to the plow. Time to do some work. These are all introspective things. These are all things that as we reach up and touch the heart of God, God's going to reach on the inside of us, and he's going to get in our life. What are your personal goals for this year? I would encourage you, as you reach up and you touch the heart of God and God starts to reach in, that you take a look inside and start to take inventory, start to make some goals and map out what you want this year to look like. Finally, from that place of strength, once we've reached up and we've reached in, now from that place, now all of a sudden we can start to reach out. Our final reach is a reach out. God doesn't want any of us to be an island. God wants us to reach outside of ourselves. Remember when we talked about that stretch, talked about getting outside of our comfort zone. God wants you to touch people. God wants you to bring his love and his goodness. You are the West Coast distributors of God's goodness on the earth. You are a full-time minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know that's something that we say and we shout about, but guys, it's time for us to start taking that seriously. That God has a plan and a purpose, and as you reach in and get a hold of that, God says, I've got people in your sphere of influence that I want you to reach out to. I want you to touch them. I want you to encourage them. I want you to pray for them. I want you to start building other people's lives. Matthew chapter 25 is one of our foundational verses here at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. It's what we built many of our outreach ministries on. And in Matthew chapter number 25, you'll find at the beginning of Matthew 25, two parables about the end times. You'll find two parables talking about the kingdom of God and how we are to be ready for the return of the Lord. Then Jesus switches from parable to story, and he starts talking about what's going to happen at the end of it all. Matthew chapter number 25, and we're going to go to verse number 34 through verse number 40. Jesus says that the king will gather all of the nations of the earth before him, and he's going to separate them. He's going to separate sheep and goats. And the sheep will be on his right hand and the goats will be on his left hand. Matthew chapter 25, verse number 34. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Verse 35, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Verse 37, then the righteous will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? Now, let's just stop right there for a second. I think if Jesus said that same thing to us, we'd say the same thing today, wouldn't we? Jesus, you're in heaven. You're seated at the right hand of the Father. When did I see you on the earth? You never came to my house. I would remember that, Jesus. I think I'd remember that. Maybe I missed it. Jesus, when were you hungry and I fed you? I never got McDonald's and brought it over. Jesus, I don't remember going to the prison and sitting across the glass with the little phone and you came up in an orange jumpsuit. I definitely, you know what, if you were naked, Jesus, I definitely would remember that one, right? We would remember that. It's a little weird, Jesus walking around naked. Put some clothes on, dude, right? And yet, look at what Jesus answers. They say, when did we see you? We don't remember any of this, Jesus. How can we receive the blessing when we don't even know what happened? Look at verse number 40. Look at what it says. And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it for one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Can I put it to you like this? When we reach out, we reach the heart of God. When we reach out and touch someone around us, we are touching Jesus. That's the eternal reward that we receive for reaching out. And it may stretch us. It may take us into arenas. You know, sometimes we don't like touching other people because they're gross. They're dirty. They don't look like me. They don't act like me. They don't think like me. But God says, when you've done it to the one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it to me. If we saw Jesus' face on every bum on the street, on every person, every prostitute, every pimp, every pusher, if we saw Jesus on our coworkers' faces, if we saw Jesus on the people on the if we saw Jesus in our neighbors' houses, we would be going out and reaching out beyond anything that we could be doing right now. It's time for us to take the gospel to the streets and to the nations. God doesn't want the frozen chosen, us for and no more. God wants us to reach out beyond the walls of this building. There are people that God's put in your path. There are divine appointments that God has set up for you this year that you'll reach. You'll be like Philip with the Ethiopian eunuch. There he is on the road. He's reading the Bible. And Philip says, what you reading? He says, I don't know. I can't understand it unless someone tells me about it. He starts to preach Jesus from the book of Isaiah. Gets the guy saved, gets him baptized, and then supernaturally, beam me up, Jesus. He's out of there. I believe that God wants to open doors for you where you walk into your workplace and that staunch atheist who said, don't preach at me, is sitting there with a Bible open and says, can you explain this to me? This is scaring the junk out of me right now. I believe that God wants you to go to your family gatherings, and there at the family gathering, they're going to be pulling out, hey, look at, here's grandma's old tabletop Bible. Look at this. And they're going to start opening it up. And right there, you're going to preach Christ to your family, and your family's going to get saved this year. I believe that God wants you to walk in supernatural divine appointments where you are the hands and the feet. You are the extension of Almighty God touching the earth and reaching the heart of the Father as we reach out. 2018 is going to be the best year of our entire life if we will go into it with our whole heart, reach up, reach in, and reach out. As you came in today, hopefully you got one of these devotionals. This is a 21-day devotional. Like I said, we're fasting for the next 21 days. If you want to join us in that fast, maybe you want to fast something like desserts, or maybe you want to fast meats. Maybe you want to fast like I'm doing, coffee. Oh my goodness. I will seek you first, Lord, before that caffeine buzz. And so whatever it is you want to do, maybe you want to fast Monday's lunch, or maybe you want to fast, you know, I'm not going to eat after dark, that sort of a thing. Whatever you can do, whatever you and God decide, okay? But get a hold of one of these devotionals, and every day there's one page, little scripture that you can get a hold of, and then it's got a paragraph, and then at the very end, it's got today's reach. It talks about what to do today, some things to pray about, some things to think about. Maybe it encourages you to go out. I love myself. I wrote the first week. Dr. Paul, who oversees our Spanish-speaking church service, he wrote the second week, then Dr. Kobernick wrote the third week. Dr. Kobernick worked in a public school for a number of decades, and from that experience, he was reaching out. And so he wrote that third part, and he's got some very practical things about going and praying and then telling someone about Jesus at your workplace or in your community. And so this is going to push you. This is going to stretch you. But listen, I believe that it's going to frame the year for us, and that God's going to speak to our hearts in these next 21 days and give us a vision of what's to come. You can write those things down that God speaks to you and refer back to them throughout the year when you get discouraged, maybe when you get a little battle weary and you say, God, I need to hear your voice. God says, go back and look at what I spoke to you before. Hold on to that word, because this is a picture. Write the vision down. Make it plain that he who reads it may run with it. Did you guys get something from the word of the Lord? Did you get the vision? Come on, 2018, let's reach. Hallelujah. God is good.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.